Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere to take you where other talk shows cannot take you. The above, the beyond, and begin the begin. You know, we do it here every night. You can also visit us online at philhenryshow.com. Watch our live streaming video of the world-famous Phil Henry Show as it is in action. We've been showing people some behind the scenes. There's our fulfillment room there, and there's Gumelda. She's working over the computer. So you can see it's never a dull moment here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You can also hear in the background one of the evangelical conclaves that they're having in Orange County tonight, not at Saddleback, but one of the adjunct colleges there, and Pastor William Rennick is there. And we're going to talk right off the bat here tonight about Tim Tebow, and we're going to talk because I think we have a rare opportunity here, folks, to discuss Tebow, who is in the minds of many and in my eyes a fine kid, a great kid. Whether or not you're a Christian, I don't think that has to necessarily fall into the discussion. But there is there are differences of opinion as to how he may be using his celebrity, and that's what we're going to be talking about. I know, Pastor Rennick, you've been discussing it at length with a number of individuals from the pastoral that you have been conducting with Reverend Speech and others. Can you tell me what you guys were talking about?
Well, I mean, I think that most of us were saying was that Tim Tebow represents a rare opportunity, you know, for the Christian ministry, no matter what the denomination. We have a very rare opportunity to reach out to people that are friends of, fans of a Tim Tebow, people that like to watch this young man play football. And I love football. I think all Americans love to watch a competitive sport, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. Here is a young man, I think, acquits himself so beautifully that we've got a wonderful opportunity to use him as an example of a good Christian young man that can send a message to our young people that there's nothing wrong, you know, and there's nothing strange about being a Christian in the modern world.
All right. Tim Tebow has also, he's also inspired Pastor Rennick. And our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Some comments from people who are opposed to his position, for instance, on choice and other matters, other social issues. They feel that he's doing damage with his points of view.
Let me address that. I want to address that because I've been hearing that. And I'm also, Phil, as you know, I'm a friend of yours, and I'm a fan of yours, and I'm a long-time supporter of your radio show. But I heard you say much of this weekend. But you were talking to people this weekend at on Twitter and on a couple of occasions when you and I spoke, you expressed misgivings about Tim Tebow talking about his religion.
And well,
let me just finish here. I'll let you do what I'm saying.
Sorry.
That angered me. That angered me. I want to tell you that angered me. He is in the world just like anybody else. And he has a right, just like anybody else, to express his feelings about life just like anybody else. Now, I have long time respected you, and I've respected others in the broadcast field for their expertise when it comes to news and when it comes to the events of the day. And as a football fan, because I am so much a supporter of Tim Tebow, I did something that I've never done before. And I looked at some of these football games this weekend, and I said, I want to cast my vote for football, because if football can have a young man like Tim Tebow in it, it is a worthy profession and should be supported. So I wanted to have some fun. And I had Clara, and we went down to the down to Harris, down near the beach in San Diego. And I put some money on one of the football games. I put money on two of the football games. I bet on the New Orleans Saints, on the Detroit Lions.
Uh huh.
and I bet the under. There was an over-under, I bet on the under. Then I bet on Tim Tebow, because I'm, as I said, I love this young man. I bet against Tim Tebow. And the reason why I bet against Tim Tebow, as much as I admire him, as much as I think he is good for our world, for our young people, all of your naysaying about him made me think that maybe his mind won't be in the game. I bet against him. So I made two bets that cost me a lot of money. I didn't make these bets.
Now, can I ask you about the Bible and...
Whoa, hold on for a minute. I don't want you to make any statement that has the word Bible in it, because I'm about to tell you, and I don't want you to misconstrue what the Bible's intent is. Understand something. I do not gamble. I don't bet on games of chance and so forth. One time in my life, I bet on football. I bet on the under, on the Lions, and on the Saints, because I just wanted to support the game of football. And then, because I had talked to you, I thought, well, maybe Phil's right. Maybe Tebow not going to have his head in the game. And I bet against him. Now, both of those bets were wrong. I know that now.
Are you saying that they're wrong because they were sinful?
Yes, I'm saying that they were sinful bets.
And well, are you saying because you lost money on those bets?
Hold on. This is where, Philip, where you and I diverge, you know. I never should have made those bets. But I made them because I'd listened to you talking about Tim Tebow. I heard other people talking about Tim Tebow. And I felt I wanted to support football. But at the last minute, I could not bring myself to bet in support of Tim Tebow because of all of the distractions that you were talking about. You follow me?
Yes, I do follow you.
All right. I wound up losing money on that game because he won. And I wound up losing money on the Saints game because I took the under. It went over 59 points. My point is this. You, Phil, are a good man, but you speak the words of the devil. And when you speak the words of the devil, you cause other people to be, sucked in. I got sucked in by the demon. And all because of the way people talk in disrespect about Tim Tebow. I'm sick and tired of it. And that was my message tonight. I think people need to back off of Tim Tebow and appreciate a young Christian man who can also play the game of football very well. And I fell for the bait. I took the bait.
Well, Pat...
Hold on. I'm not done yet. When I'm done, I'll let you know. But I took the bait. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
I took the bait. The man come down the mountain, says, I'm a hungry man. And the devil says to him, I got a loaf of bread. I took the bait. I didn't wait for the blood of the lamb. I didn't wait for the flesh of Jesus. I took the bait. And you were the one holding the fishing pole, Phil. You held that fishing pole. You had the devil on the end of your fishing line, a little miniature man, if you want to call it that. A little miniature devil holding on to that bread saying, Pastor Rennick. Now.
Okay, Pastor, I do have to interrupt you. We have to take a break.
I'm looking at the clock. It says 10:14. You told me you break it.
All right, but I...
Are you lying to me?
No, sir, I'm not lying to you.
Are you lying? I'll ask you again. Are you lying to me?
No, sir, I'm not lying to you.
Because what happened, Phil, is a result of you talking up Tim Tebow as I took the demon's bait.
I understand that. But you're blaming me.
I'm blaming you for doing the devil's work.
You're the one that placed the bet, okay?
I'm not trying to get off the hook. But the devil, as I walked up to that window at Harrah's in San Diego, I could feel the devil almost like a puppet. Like a puppet would put his hands into the puppet hand. I felt the devil's hands go into my hand like a puppet. And I felt my hands as if there was a puppet being and talking the puppet talk, because the devil was in me. I didn't have faith.
That's right.
I didn't have faith.
On account of fear, because of what you said.
No, not because of what I said.
No, listen to me. I took the bait, and as a result of that, I had a puppet mouth and a puppet hand. And Jesus Christ was nowhere around.
Did you pray to Jesus?
Well, do me a favor, will you? Don't start talking Jesus talk to me. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm the one that talks about the Lord and Savior, not you.
All right, I know that you're at the conclave there.
Yeah, we are, and we've got to get inside. I do want to continue talking to you.
Okay, I have to take a break. Pastor William Renick on the line with us, and you may want to join us as we talk about Tim Tebow. And he's being very candid. He bet two football games this weekend, one of them against Tim Tebow, and he's blaming me. Blaming me because I had talked a lot about Tebow being very outspoken in terms of his religion. Perhaps young Mr. Tebow might not be ready for the game this weekend. Whatever. He's blaming me for these bets that he's made. He's blaming me, basically, for a lot of the negative imaging that he has about Tim Tebow and others. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I mean, that's what it comes down to. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Pastor William Renick after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL from the conclave, evangelical conclave in Orange County. In Diamond Bar this evening is Pastor William Renick, along with his wife Clara is there, Clara Bingham, and many, many other ministers from across the western United States and some parts of the southwest. And we're talking tonight. I know you've discussed an awful lot there, and many of the topics that you discussed, Pastor Renick, are what? Are they matters of actual spiritual doctrine? Are they matters of
It covers it's a wide range of topics. You know, you are covering, for instance, how to support on an individual basis. Sometimes we have ministries that are very much in financial need. There are ministries, and many times you're called to the gospel, and you go to places where there no real support, financial or material support, is going to be coming from your congregation. And that's when we have to reach out, and we've got to support across the spectrum these churches. But getting back to what we're talking about, if I can't get support from the people in the media that know better, and I go out and I lay a couple of $1,000 on a football game. I don't bet football, but I believe in Tim Tebow. But you made me believe not in Tim Tebow. What happened there, Phil, was this. I believe in that young man, and you start talking about how he's a hypocrite. And
well, I don't think I used that word.
Hold on for a minute, because you said that. Didn't you say he got no right using the platform?
All I said was I disagreed with him on the freedom of a woman's right to choose, but I didn't call him a hypocrite.
Well, in so doing, you are speaking against a fellow Christian. And you said, well, his head may not be in it. And what you did is you used the devil. And so the devil slipped into my my form, you know, as if I was the devil puppet. And that's when I bet against Tim Tebow.
Are you telling me that it would have been God's will to bet for Tim Tebow?
I'm telling you, Phil, don't talk about God. You're not qualified. You can ask me about me.
I'm asking you about religious liturgy.
No, you're not. All you're trying to do is you're still deviling it up. See, that's what I call deviling it up. You're trying to devil it up on me. And you're trying to...
What do you mean, devil it up?
You're trying to trick me. I cannot allow that to happen, Phil, as much as I love you. I cannot allow that to happen. Not again.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, and this is, I believe, Jeff. Is this who I have on the line?
Larry.
Well, Larry, sorry, you're on the air with Pastor William Renick, who is in Diamond Bar this evening. Go ahead.
I've been an evangelist for the last 35, 40 years, and here's a funny thing. You know what? Here's the funny thing. You sit there and tell how that there are churches and all that that need money, which I agree.
Yes, they are.
In fact, nobody
very much
forced
so.
You to do it. You did this on your own free will. For you to blame him and say that he did it, no. He was not there telling you what to do.
He was talking about a fellow Christian. He was talking about a Christian man. And if you know who that, you know this, Tim?
No, what you're talking about now, you're stating this fact. And you're sitting there saying, well, he was talking bad about it. I don't care who anybody talks bad about, okay? So, you know, he has his own view. His own.
You have to, you know, God says he will not be mocked, you know. And when Mr. Henry says Tim Tebow this, Tim Tebow that, and so I want to support Tim Tebow. You know who we're talking about?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Do you know who we're talking about, Larry, the football player Tim Tebow?
Yeah, I do. Here's the funny thing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he's sitting there saying to you.
Tim Tebow is a Christian. He's a Christian man.
You know, Phil, he's telling you that you're the cause of him losing money.
Right. Well, that's what I was asking you about, Pastor. You know,
I'm saying to Phil and I'm saying to you, Larry, the devil come into Phil. He's coming into me because Phil said, Tim Tebow, he stinks. And what do I want to do? I want to support Tim Tebow. I want to do what God is calling me to do, which is support a Christian, a fellow Christian, in his mission, in his journey.
Okay, well, that's
point
number one.
But
if you want to,
what?
Why did you bet against him?
Because Mr. Henry talked me into thinking he's no good.
Nobody holds the ear. There's a scripture in the Bible says that if God be for you, you know, who can be against you? The problem was you did this upon yourself. It says you were lured away and drawn away from your own lust.
The demon acting through Phil used me as a puppet.
No.
Wait, hold on for a minute, Larry. Hold on. Phil, you don't get to talk about this. It's me and Larry. We are evangelical. You're not even a Christian.
It's my show.
I don't want you talking about it. Go ahead, Larry.
It is Phil's show, and if Phil says, as a minister...
But he's not a Christian. He's not a Christian.
It's his show. You have to respect...
In other words, you want to leave the door wide open for the demon again. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You keep leaving the door open. I keep trying to shut the door to the devil, and you keep wanting to let the door open.
No, because you're the one... allowed him in. You're the one that walked up there full right knowing that it was against, you know, there are people, sorry Phil, but there are people that are hungry. Churches, yes, I agree with that. And here it is, this supposed minister or whatever, okay, if he's behind that
supposed
pole, okay, supposed. I won't touch him. But
wow.
What is twisting. He's contradicting himself.
Even I'm not contradicting anything. What are you laughing at, man? I'm saying to you that God Almighty asked me to support this young man, Tim Tebow, and here comes the demon saying, no, don't do it. His head ain't in the game. He stinks. He sucks. So I bet against him.
You did it. You bet against him. You're blaming the devil? Okay, fine. The Bible always warns people, Christians, against the devil, doesn't it? Jesus encountered the devil? Jesus had to do battle with the devil.
Well, look at you, telling me all about the Bible. I bet you spent 5 seconds of your life reading the Bible. That's too much. I know what the Bible says. Larry, you know what the Bible says.
Yes, I do.
Right? The Bible said the demon lies. And the demon tricks and fools. And twists and puts on, all kinds of different personalities. Just like he did with you.
What you're doing right now. You're calling, you're trying to call black, black, white, white, which is understandable.
Huh?
But the problem is...
That's racial. You're getting racial. We don't need to be racial. I'm saying...
Millie Mountain. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
You're talking about racism.
All right, listen, Larry, thank you for your call. I got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Pastor Renick, Tim Tebow, did I influence him to bet against Tim Tebow? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You assumed the form of the devil.
I don't see how I did that.
I'm trying to tell you.
Phil Henry.
Took the bait.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
What's your first name? What's your first name? Okay, bring it up. World famous Phil Henry Show here. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On the line with me from the Evangelical Conclave and Diamond Bar is Pastor William Renick, and we'll be on with us for a period of time as we're talking about, you know, what's been a little bit of the conversation this week. It's interesting. Tim Tebow, quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and quite an exciting football player in his own right, is also a Christian and has been vocal about his Christian beliefs. And that has some people a little bothered, only because so many of those beliefs do tend to comment on social situations, the social politics of the country and so forth. For instance, a woman's right to choose, abortion. And Pastor William Renick on the line with us. Pastor Renick, you bet two football games this weekend, and I won't even comment on whether that is biblical or not.
What does that mean, biblical? What's that mean?
Well, I guess I should say, is that with are you following God's law?
Am I following God's law? What?
You bet a couple of football games.
So I bet a couple of football games. So what? See, what you're doing again, Phil, is you are getting once again. You are taking on the role of the demon. And I have to ask myself, what is it so comfortable about the demon that you like to have that the puppet man slipping a hand in?
I'm not taking, I'm just asking the question that you bet a couple of games.
I bet football to support Tim Tebow. When you started in again at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, I called you. Did I call you at 8 o'clock Sunday morning?
Yes, you did.
And I asked you, I said, now I heard you talking about Tim Tebow and all of these Christian beliefs. I think his mind won't be on the game. And what did you say to me?
I said, I said that's a fair assessment, you know.
Yeah, you said you didn't think he was going to win.
I thought the Steelers would win. Yes, I did.
So I took that, and that was the devil. And I went and I changed my bet. And I went all the way back down to San Diego, trying to get my money back on the first bet. They wouldn't let me have it back. And I spoke to the general manager down there at Harris. I said, you know, I just want to know what you're running here. I come down. I made a bet, yes. But I've changed my mind. I don't bet football. I don't know what you people do here. And he said that, you know, so on and so forth, that's too bad. So I went ahead. I laid another $1,000. And I bet the other way. Okay? And now I find out an odd change. I lost a lot of money. Why?
You bet that game. First you bet for him, then you bet against him, and you bet against him, and the odds were better when you bet against him. Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you that I took short money. And as a Christian preacher, that was embarrassing for me. It was not against God's law, but it was embarrassing. Because when people ask me, they said, why'd you bet against? I said, I took Phil Henry. I've listened to Phil Henry. They said, man, it's not even a Christian.
Well,
you're not even a Christian man. See?
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show. We have a caller here. What is your name, sir?
Joseph.
Joseph, go ahead. You're on the show with Pastor Renick.
Hey, well, I just wanted to let you know I got 2 points here. Now, I don't disagree that, now, I agree that Phil Henry, he may have said some things against Tim Tebow, but...
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said Tim Tebow, lousy quarterback.
I did. That's what I thought.
But he has the right of free speech, and also the fact that you were the one that bet on going against Tim Tebow. It wasn't his fault. He had his opinion. You had yours. You took your opinion. I saying that Tim Tebow is a good Christian man, and that he should be praised for what, I mean, what he's done, both his football and his Christian life. But, now I'm not exactly defending Phil, but I'm just saying, he has his opinion, you have yours, and what you did was your decision.
Yeah, but here's what I'm trying to say. Name Joseph. Joseph, I can't let the devil off the hook. You're right that I move toward the betting counter with the intent to bet against Tim Tebow. But who carried me the rest of the way? With that devil slipping his hands in like I'm a puppet. And...
Well, you know, do you take any responsibility...
Whoa, hold on. See, this is the problem we're having. I'm talking to a Christian man about Christian things. And you keep butting in. I want to talk to this man knows what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I know. I'm just asking you a question.
Well, hold on. So, Joseph, when the devil puts a gun, a loaded gun, I'm going to be very graphic with you, Joseph, if you don't mind, all right?
All right.
If the devil takes a loaded gun and sticks it in your mouth, puts the two barrels of a shotgun in your mouth, you think are you going to do what he tells you to do?
No.
What? Are you crazy?
He just said no.
Well, wait a second. You're telling me you won't do what the devil tells you to do with two barrels of the shotgun in your mouth?
Doesn't matter. You're saved, it doesn't matter.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you're in a liquor store gets robbed, the gunman forces you to your knees, puts two barrels of the shotgun in your mouth, and tells you to do something, you going to do what he tells you to do?
Probably not.
But the devil, you're sure you'll say no to, but some slob in a liquor store you might say yes to. That doesn't make sense.
You're just trying to trick him.
Yes, that's exactly. I just tricked him like the devil tricked him. See? I tricked him just like the devil tricked him.
Well, you got to use the Bible. You got to use Christ, and you got to use him against the devil. You have to use verses, and if you don't use the verses, then you're not strong. You got to put on the armor.
Verses? What verses?
What verses?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Here's an example. Tim Tebow threw a 316-yard pass, right?
316-yard? No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
He threw for 316 yards?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He threw a pass 316 yards.
Now, it's interesting.
That's
you look in your Bible and you see John 3:16. That's an example. That is not a man influence. That's a God influence right there.
So okay, right there, that proves that I should have bet for him, and I didn't. What's the only thing that could keep me from betting for a man that threw for 316 yards? The demon. Who's the demon? He's everywhere. Phil Henry.
I don't
bet.
Saying? So...
And when the devil takes two barrels of a shotgun and puts it against your crotch, you're going to say yes.
Wait a minute. That's what you're saying happened, that the devil took both barrels of a shotgun and stuck them against your crotch.
Yes. How do you say no to that?
No, no one's buying this, Pastor. You got to take responsibility for what you did. You bet against him. You're blaming me because I said I didn't think he was a very... Did he really throw for 316 yards, Joseph?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I had heard. I heard that he threw...
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And you bet against him.
I didn't bet against him. That's what you don't get.
Okay,
that's what you'll
the
never
only
get.
Reason I called...
I didn't bet against him. The demon.
All right, Joseph, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. You're not making your case here.
I don't have to make my case, Phil. You don't understand. I don't have to make my case. I'm making the case that the devil is everywhere. That's all I'm saying. Everybody's been calling in. Good Christian people are calling in. They're letting the devil off the hook. I'm not letting the devil off the hook. I've never let the devil off the hook. I put the devil on the hook. I drop the devil in the water, and I hope some devil-eating fish come along and gobble up the devil. I use the devil for bait. I use the devil for catfish bait. Low, crawling, sludge, mud-sucking, no good, rotten, stinking catfish bait. That's how I use the devil for. So when I go out and I say I'm going to bet me on Tim Tebow, and Tim, and then you tell me Tebow, he no good, he's too, his head someplace else, he's got too much of that Jesus stuff going on, and the devil got off the hook, crawled back down that fishing line, got 6 feet tall, and put his hands into me like I'm Puppet Man.
What are you talking about?
You know something? Either you listen to me or you're thumbing it. Now, which are you doing?
I'm asking you...
Either you're listening to me or you're playing thumb it. Now, which is it?
I'm listening to you.
Then what do you mean, what am I talking about?
The devil came back up the hook, grew up to a big size, and used you as a puppet.
Yes! That's what I've been trying to say. I had the devil on the line. I had him on the hook. I had him in the water. He was going down. I was going fishing for that mud-sucking group. Oh, man. And what'd you do? You came along and said, hey, I think Tebow, he ain't no good. You lied to me.
No, wait a minute, Pat.
No, you lied. You lied to me. Because I don't know why. Maybe you don't like me. Maybe you think I'm...
No, Pastor Rennick, I did not lie to you.
I think you lied. I think you had the devil's back. I think you knew that Tim Tebow was going to that game and play his heart out. I think you knew that Tim Tebow was going to make chumps out of that Pittsburgh Steelers team. A football team that I've come to believe was one of the great football teams of all time, the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. And then Tim Tebow come in and jumped him.
Pastor.
Oh, you lied. And the way you lied, with a puppet, me, I got, all I am is a sock head and an empty, I'm a just cloth. That's what the devil done to me.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about this.
No, you lied.
No, sir, I did not lie. I gave you an opinion.
Well, all right, then how come I'm betting against Tim Tebow?
Because you brought a very good point up. You were betting in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the great franchises in all of professional football. Why would they lose? Very good point. Only one problem. They have a quarterback that was crippled.
Well, why'd you tell me about that?
Because I didn't know that I was a betting service all of a sudden. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is Pastor Rennick talking about supporting a young Christian man in his efforts as a professional quarterback, or is he just angry that he bet the wrong side? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Pastor William Rennick in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You lied!
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Anybody watching the video cast, you having problems with the video picture? I got a message that said it's the size of a postage stamp. I don't know. I'll have to go online and take a look at it. 877-876-PHIL is our number here, and we're talking with Pastor William Rennick at the Evangelical Conclave in Diamond Bar tonight. You've been calling me a liar here, Pastor. You've been saying that I lied to you and that I recommended that you not bet on Tim Tebow, even though you think I knew he was going to play well.
I mean, you're telling me you think Tim Tebow no good, and I have a stinking hunch you knew he was good. See, when you tell me he no good, I knew you were the devil. I knew that you were speaking the devil words. I'm not saying you are the devil, Phil. I'm saying I knew you didn't like Tim Tebow. I knew you didn't like the opinion he got. I knew you didn't think a very good quarterback.
Most of my opinion about Tim Tebow's got nothing to do with him being a Christian. You know, I'm glad that he's a Christian, and I'm glad that it influences his life well. I've got friends of mine, women, who don't like his view on abortion, whatever. But I'm saying my view of him was as a quarterback only.
As a quarterback, and you're telling me as a quarterback, he's no good.
I don't think he's a classic. I don't think he's the type of quarterback that's going to win championships. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong.
Let me tell you something. You're wrong.
Well, I mean, I could be.
No, you're not good. You're wrong. You're wrong. You led me down the garden path like you were the demon dressed up like you were in a romper room school, what you call like a Disney guide or something. Like you were dressed up like a Disney guy going to take me down in a swan boat. And there I was, a little straw hat, the sucker, all-day sucker. And you talk about an all-day sucker, that was me. You dressed up for the swan boat.
Yeah. What are you talking about, me dressed up? What is that? What is it?
I'm telling you, you were the devil dressed as a guide for the swan boat. God!
I don't know what that means.
Well, young man, I would hope you'd listen.
I'm listening. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Let's go over to 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with our good friend, Pastor William Renick, about this very thing that we've been discussing, Tim Tebow, and why it is this guy is blaming me, you, Pastor, for you betting on Tim, betting against Tim Tebow.
And well, we ought to talk what happened to that phone call you had.
He hung up.
Well, get another one.
No, I don't, I just, there's no, I, you know, they're not.
They don't want to talk to me?
It seems like they don't want to talk to you, yeah.
No, I mean, see, there's another lie. That's a filthy lie.
That's not a lie. They don't want to talk to you. They think you're nuts. Or maybe they think you're right. Maybe they agree with you. I don't know.
Well, that must be it. That must be it. Because everything I've said is biblical. Everything I've talked about is biblical. What I've said about Tim Tebow being a Christian man playing good football, and you saying I'm not taking responsibility.
No, you're not taking responsibility when you keep calling me a liar. And you keep saying that I'm a guy that is not doesn't have the Christian point of view. What I have is in fact just a limited view of Tim Tebow based upon my politics, and you know, and I'm misleading you. And I really know he's good. I don't think the guy's good. I still don't think he's any good. I still don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl.
What are you talking about, man? They just said that he passed for 316 yards.
You know what? I'm going to look that up.
You go ahead and look it up.
I'm looking that up because I don't even know if that's true or not. But and we'll have that next hour, okay?
You can have it now. I want it now.
Well, you can look it up if you want. All right, we have a technical problem I'm trying to deal with, too, as well. No, I'm not going to look it up right now.
You can look it up right now.
I'm not looking it up right now. I'm telling you, I've got a million different things that need my attention right now, okay?
Well, one of them is talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I'm not taking responsibility. How much money did you lose?
I lost $2,500.
And you never did answer my question. Are Christian ministers allowed to bet? But
what do you mean, are they allowed to bet? I can bet a football game, especially if it's in support of a young Christian man. Yes, I can do that. Now, I know that what you want
to... Now, hold on. I want to get Clara. Is she there?
What do you want to talk to her for?
Because she was there when you were making the bets, wasn't she?
Yeah, I was. I was there, and I told him that I thought what he was doing very foolish.
No, you didn't.
Oh, shut your mouth, please, for a minute, Pat. I don't want to talk disrespect for my husband. You know Phil.
No, I know that.
But I was there when he made both those bets, and I had said to you, don't you dare bet. You're going to bet for him. You bet for him. You bet against him. You bet against him. But don't you dare blame Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry wouldn't have told me. He told me to bet on him.
No, he did not tell you to bet on him. He told you, Tim Tebow.
Oh, my God.
It's not that big of a mistake, William. Take it easy, will you?
Oh, my goodness. William, you hear what she just said? She said Tim Tebow. You know,
give her the phone back, will you?
All right. Make a big thing out of that.
Tim Tebow.
Wow. In any event, Phil, you can hear that what he's doing now is very, very duplicitous. And I think you need to apologize to Phil. You bet that money. You bet it on the wrong man. And you're going to have to live with the consequences.
Well,
get over here.
You call him Tim Tebow.
I don't care what I call him. I'm sorry, Phil.
Look, man, I don't want to...
I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry. You're going to make me crawl? Is that it? Now you want to make me crawl?
No, I'm not making you crawl.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to give you the wrong advice.
You didn't give me the wrong advice. You gave me the right advice. You told me you thought he stunk, and therefore I said I'm going to vote, I'm going to bet for him, I'm going to bet on him. But then I didn't keep staying with the thought that because you think he stinks, I should bet for him. Then I started thinking I should bet against him.
Right.
That was stupid of me.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You're the one calling him Tim Tebow.
Who give a damn I call him Tim Tebow?
Hey, you say the Lord's name in vain now. Hear that, Bill? Lord, ho, ho.
Yeah, you did. No, I did not. I said Tim Turbo. I did not take the Lord's name in vain.
You said damn.
Yeah, I said he'll give a damn. I call him Tim Turbo.
Who cares if his name is Tim Turbo or Tim Tebow?
Put me on.
In any event, thank you very much, Pastor, for your apology. It was not necessary, really.
It wasn't necessary. Why'd I do it? Oh. And that was his fault, Phil, not yours.
No, I know that. But, I mean, the problem that I have with him is he will not admit it. He just won't admit it. All right. Anyway, thank you very much, Pastor Renick, and you too, Clara.
Yeah, our pleasure, Phil.
Wow. 877-876-PHIL. We said things got really crazy all of a sudden here, folks, on the technical end. So we'll try to iron all that stuff out. Be right back with you. Pastor William Renick, Clara Bingham, his wife, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Woo!
Take the bait! Oh, you lied to me.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
You know, welcome back, folks. I don't know how many people I got supporting me doing this show, and I'm not talking about the radio side, the videocast side, and all I got are people messaging me saying this is wrong and that's wrong. What the hell do you think I'm supposed to do? I'm on the air doing the show. People are saying, hey, Phil, the picture is wrong on the video cast and this, that. That's fine. I can dig it. I understand. I'm doing a radio show right now. I got a great idea. Why don't you get on the phone and call the people that need to know so they can fix it on their end or come here and do it? I'm doing a radio show. I swear to God, we're in a down economy, and you'd swear on your mother's grave that there are people, even with a rotten economy, that want to run business right into the ground because maybe that's the only thing they know how to do. We're doing good. We had a great month last month. We had the best month we've ever had on our website. I'm on a radio. I'm doing a radio show. We do a video cast on our video on our website. The picture is off because we put a new TriCaster in. It's a TriCaster. It's a computer that controls the cameras. We put it in. It's a loaner while the other one is getting fixed. Okay. The settings are off. But some people want me to explain, well, why do we have a new TriCaster? I'm in the middle of a news break, man. I can't go into a big, long dissertation on what the hell is going wrong or this or that or something else. I got 3 minutes. I got to be back on the air. Gee, why do we have that? You know, hey, what do you want me to do? Have a conversation with you? You want this fixed or not? Why are people calling me? Let me explain, and this is a great lesson in what the hell is wrong with this country. This is it in a nutshell. We got a million people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about their job. Just their job. Their job. Just their job. We got a million people who want to tell everybody else their job and how to do their job. But the one they were assigned to do, the one that they can do, they can't do it. I'm doing my job. I'm doing a radio show right now. There's something wrong with our video cast? I got a great idea. Don't call me. Do I look like I'm the guy that's going to fix it? Call the cats that can fix it. Now, all over America, this is what's going on. We got people belly aching because they can't get a job. We got some other ass who says the high unemployment is this and that, so I can't get any work. We got a million grandmothers out there wringing their hands over this, that, and something else. And then they want to tell everybody else how to do their job, how this guy did that and that guy did that. Pastor Renick's telling me that I screwed him out of $2,500 because I told him, don't bet on Tim Tebow, do bet on Tim Tebow. I don't even know what the hell it is he's talking about. And, so we've got a problem in our little business, the Phil Henry Show, where our TriCaster picture, the videocast picture, is off tonight because of the new computer. The settings need to be adjusted. They will be adjusted. I know how they can do that. Call up the cats that can do that for us. They'll be here tomorrow, or they can come into the studio later on or whenever. Don't talk to me about it and then want to engage me in a conversation. Why do we have a new TriCaster? Like I'm having a board meeting? The reason why there are successful people in this world, they avoid that kind of chicken crap. The reason why there are losers in this world, they engage in that kind of chicken crap. And the difference between the two is that simple. Just simple as that. The difference between a successful business and a business that constantly struggles is there are people that want to get mired in chicken crap. They don't want to cut through the horse dung, chicken dung, or whatever barnyard animal you're dealing with to get to how to solve the problem. They want to have long-winded discussions about stuff that can be dealt with later on. They get their feelings hurt, their personality. You know, I mean, my God, folks, I'm not a genius. Believe me when I tell you, I'm not a genius. But it seems pretty obvious to me. I see it every day in my life. I see people that are kicking the crap out of life and really making a move. And I see a bunch of people standing around with their ass in their hands. And the difference between the two, it couldn't be clearer. On the one side, you got people that are just getting the job done. And on the other side, you got people standing around waiting for somebody to come along and explain to them this, that, and some other bunch of stuff that they don't need explained to them. And even if it was explained to them, they wouldn't understand it in 100 years. All right, so what are we going to do here? We appreciate Pastor Renick being with us. Like that, man, we do have some news to cover here in our maybe extended news hour. I don't know. You know that Alabama won, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, anyway, Alabama wins BCS National Championship. Jeremy Shelley kicked 5 field. We're going to have Vernon Dozier on in just a few minutes here to talk with us about the BCS, the championship, and so forth. Jeremy Shelley kicked 5 field goals, and Trent Richardson broke a 34-yard touchdown run late in the fourth quarter. Number 2 Alabama beat number 1 LSU 21-0. The first shutout in BCS title game history. It's quite a surprise because I heard the LSU coach talking about, you know.
Yeah, he thought we were going to be all ready for it.
Well, he was sounding like, you know, he was very confident. He said, his guys are confident. Everybody's, you know, everyone's relaxed. Everybody's feeling good. So it sounded to me like he thought it was going to be I don't think he was predicting victory, but I think he was saying, you know, my guys, their heads are in the right places. It's all great. Well, their heads were, I guess if those were the right places for their heads to be in, it didn't work out too good. Anyway, Richardson swept around left end and raced down the sideline to the end zone with 4:36 left for the first touchdown between the Southeastern Conference rivals in more than 115 minutes of play in one overtime period. Why an overtime period when it was 15-0 when I don't understand.
They had to have overtime on account of probably it was tied.
Tied? It was 15-0 with I don't know how many seconds left. Well, how was it tied? Alabama had put it away before that as Shelley kicked field goals of 23, 34, blah, 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 in the first three quarters. But this time the missed kicks didn't matter to the Tide. The Tigers and the Tide bent on November 5th was dubbed the game of the century, and the Tigers won a touchdownless defensive standoff 9-6. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at here, man. This is starting to piss me off now. What do they mean, an overtime? Oh, the overtime period back in November. Okay.
Yeah, they're not talking about the game tonight.
Oh, okay. They were saying at 150 minutes in one overtime period. Okay. The Tigers, see, when I begin to get confused.
Yeah, I know. You get irritated when you're confused.
Very much so. The Tigers, 13-1, and the Tide met on November the 5th in what was dubbed the game of the century. Anyway, game of the century. 9-6. Anyway, Richardson, the Heisman Trophy finalist, ran for 96 yards. So they won, man. Alabama won. LSU lost. Thank you very much. And I guess the Southeastern Conference is God almighty because they got a national championship game between two teams in that conference. What are you going to say?
They all love that football down there.
That's the truth, man. So, like I said, we're going to have a conversation with I've got enough of him, man. Vernon Dozier coming up later to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. India said to be told Turkey may stop routing. I don't want to read that. An alleged terror plot. See this guy?
Yeah, that guy looks like somebody you said. It looked like the guy who was working in that gas station.
Yeah, he's not working at a gas station. He is a terrorist from Kosovo named Sami Osmakak or something. Anyway, this jackass stood in front of a Tampa church one night in 2010 ranting for 13 minutes about Christianity and the evils of the secular world. What's the matter with you? Asked Osmakak in a video later posted on YouTube, trying to follow their ways, trying to go to nightclubs like them, trying to fornicate like them, trying to get with their women, submit to the rule of Allah. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Why is that a terrorist? Oh, anyway, it was the kind of rhetoric that made Osmakok an outcast in Tampa Bay's Muslim community and helped bring him to the attention of the FBI. Osmakok, age 25, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Pinellas Park and a native of Kosovo, was arrested on Saturday and charged with trying to use a weapon of mass destruction. He's accused in a federal complaint of plotting to obtain weapons and explosives for a car bomb to carry out attacks in Tampa. Unknown to Osmakok, he sought his weapons from an undercover FBI agent introduced to him by his employer, who was an FBI informer. This guy was this from the beginning, you know.
Dude, about one guy I could trust.
Right from the gate, this cat knew the wrong people. He was working for an FBI informer who introduced him to an FBI agent.
You're any lucky, marry an FBI lady.
An FBI Muslim lady.
Yeah.
And on Osmakok's shifting list of targets, the complaint said, were an Irish pub in South Tampa. Why a good Irish pub? Nightclubs in Ybor City, a Hillsborough County Sheriff's Operations Center, and Tampa Bay Bridges. He said he wanted to instill terror in his victims' hearts, calling it payback for the wrongs done to Muslims, an arrest warrant said. The FBI said he worked alone. All right. Good job, FBI. And too bad for you, Sammy. We'll be right back with Vernon Dozier on number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Sorry about the technical confusion here in the first few minutes, folks. We'll get it sorted.
Truth
out.
Phil Henry is Show. Our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our apologies on the technical side tonight if you're watching our video cast, Phil TV in HD. We do have a picture problem as the result of changing some equipment out over the weekend, and that's going to be corrected in due course. Maybe not tonight, but it will be corrected by tomorrow night's video cast, I can assure you that. And it's a matter of some settings and things like that. It's just things that happen, you know. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California tonight to talk about the BCS Championship. Vernon, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good. And by the way, I thank you for clearing that up because I've been looking at this at your video cast, which I do from time to time, and we were trying to figure out what was wrong with it.
Yeah, that was it. It was a change out of equipment.
Do we get, I should ask this question, I guess I'll probably ask it later, but is there a refund you get on any of the video casts?
Not really. I mean, not really, you know.
I don't want to cancel my subscription or anything, but don't you think we'd get any kind of a refund?
Well, the video cast was actually a part of our package. Our package, which was our subscription fee, was something that we had in place before we added the video cast for no extra charge.
Yeah, but your subscription rate went up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a little bit, but only in keeping the first time in 13 years.
Well, I mean, I just okay.
All right. I'm sorry. You know, the people always have the option of canceling if they want. We don't want them to.
Well, I'm not gonna cancel over one. You know, but I just kind of bothers me that I'm looking at a little tiny screen tonight. That's all. It's just what you were talking about when you were saying, well, you know, deliver.
We deliver. We got great customer service, and technically we have these issues, and they do happen from time to time, and we learn as we go, and we hope for certainly the next time we have to trade out equipment like this, we'll know we've got some settings to adjust.
Well, don't you know that?
Are we going to talk about the BCS game?
Yeah, we're going to tell you. Absolutely. I want to talk about BCS game. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit nervous.
No, you're doing fine, but we're going to talk about the game, right?
Yes, we're going to talk about the game, but I wanted to. There was a. I was not understanding when you were talking about people doing their jobs. I'm looking at a video cast. It's about the size of a little tiny. It's a little teeny tiny, you know.
Well, I mean, it's that little teeny tiny, but the picture is not the HD that we advertise. You're absolutely right. And to that, I apologize, and we got to get on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would if I were you. Are they going to do that tonight?
Listen, Vernon.
Okay, all right.
So how about the game? Let's talk about the game.
Well, that's what I want to tell you, because I was sitting there I'm fooling around with you, and I should have been watching the game.
What do you mean you were fooling around with me? You talking about the video cast?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm looking at a replay of it, because Amber T-voted for me, but I didn't have, I didn't know what I was going to say, and I'm fooling around and fooling with you, and when I finally realized the game's on, then I went over to it, and I realized it was 15-0. And it was a blowout. And, I know a lot of the guys on the LSU staff. I know Lee Miles. I know so many of the coaches that have been there for a long time, all the people on support staff, trainers, and so forth. And to see what happened to them tonight, it hurt. I'm originally from Texas. And to see the beating they took from an Alabama team.
Being from Texas, are you sort of...
You tend to be maybe a little more Louisiana oriented. You know, I come from Eastern Texas. I come from a place called Kilgore, Texas, which is in East Texas, kind of ranch land. It's horse country more so than anything else. And Shreveport's not too far from there, and so you do tend to have friends that might be traveling or had gone to school at LSU. And when I saw what happened to them tonight, I was very embarrassed for them.
Was it embarrassment, or was it just it was 21-0, and
well, it's the first shutout in BCS history. When you talk about a game that we sweat for and we struggled for, many of us for so long, we petitioned, we asked, we pleaded, we need a national championship game. And
but can I ask you, as a high school coach, did you have a lot of input?
I think that as I'm a coach, and when you say I'm a high school coach, I'm a coach. There's not a whole lot of difference, Phil, between high school and pro and college. It's all very similar in terms of it's very, very similar in terms of what's at stake.
Well, how do you say that? I mean, professional football, there's a lot of money at stake.
Well, there is a lot of money at stake, but there's a lot, money isn't the whole thing. What's at stake is the pride and the victory, because you leave your guts in the film room, you leave your guts in the training room, you leave your guts in the locker room, you leave your guts in your office, because you're there and you're working hard and you're going through the game film and you're going through the playbook and you're trying to adjust things. You're thinking, well, what haven't I thought of? What can I do? And there's no difference between that and pro football. So when I, talk to Bill Weatherly or I talk to Dave McNeil, who's a very good friend of mine, who is a part of the BCS organizing committee, and I said I want my opinion to be heard, and they sort of asked me the same question you did, which is you're a high school coach, and I said I don't care what you think I am, I want my opinion heard, and if my opinion is not heard, then I'm going to make it very uncomfortable for people. See, I'm a top-rated high school coach. Some people may think that sounds almost sissy, excuse me for saying this, almost sounds, to some men, it almost sounds effeminate.
Effeminate, that you're a top-rated high school coach?
Well, in comparison to college. And I wanted to make it very clear to them that I'm going to have my opinion heard on the national championship game. And I want that championship game to be held. And they all said, okay, yeah, sure. And I got the feeling that maybe they weren't really taking me seriously, like they were blowing me off or player. What do you call
condescending to you? And
Yeah, condescending, and they were just sort of placating,
Right.
Placating me. And so the next day I called Dave Weatherly. I said, did you get my message? Yes, I did. Well, what happened was, make a long story short, Dave went in the hospital with pneumonia, and I was feeling bad for him, but I had to keep the pressure on, so I kept calling him and calling him. He died as the result of circumstances around his pneumonia, and his wife, blames me. That's what I'm talking about right there. When you push and you push and you push, people resent you for that, Phil.
Yeah, well, that woman blames you for what? She blames you for killing her husband?
She blames me because I have drive, I've got ambition, I won't let people rest.
But you called her husband while he was in the hospital?
I called Dave, yeah.
And you kept asking him what?
I kept saying, have you been in their face about this BCS game? And, you know, he says, well, I'm in the hospital, I got pneumonia. I said, I know that. I said, I know you got pneumonia. I said, but guess what? The world doesn't stop just because of you. I said, I want you to relax, I want you to get better. But every day I would call him, and he finally died on that Saturday. I heard that he had died, he'd gone into a coma on Friday night and died. And his wife says that I killed him. And I said, right there. I said, don't say anything else. Right there is what's wrong with our country. And that's why what you said, Phil, rang so true.
And well, wait a minute. You were calling this man so much that what happened?
I don't. They say he didn't get any sleep or he was under pressure. I think what happened was that he came up against a guy that wants to get things done, a guy by the name of Vernon Dozier. That's me. And when you come up against a guy that wants to get things done, and you're not ready to go, then you're just, then you literally, your whole, your life is gone. Your system shuts down.
All right. Vernon, hang on. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier talking about the BCS game and what it takes to win in this society. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California, as we continue talking about tonight's BCS game and what happened, what took place to get the BCS game in place, and quite a bit, including the death of one man.
And that was Dave Weatherly who I'm sorry I told that story because I want to get... I love Dave like a brother. I'm sorry he was not constitutionally stronger, but I needed him to do what he needed to do, and he didn't do, you know, what he needed to do. And so as a result of that, I had to jump into the breach, and thank God, because if, I will say this, Phil, and not a lot of men would do this, but I have to do this, and if it wasn't for me, I don't think there would be a BCS bowl game.
Really? I mean,
I just, if it wasn't for me just pushing everybody, there wouldn't have been, there's no BCS game. Forget it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, Vernon Dozier on the BCS game, a 21-0 blowout tonight, Alabama over LSU. Andrew, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, sir. Good evening. I was wondering how you think this BCS system has really become successful or helpful towards college football. If you see now that pretty much for the last 5 to 6 years, every champion has been debatable whether they deserve to be there and participate in the game, just like this year. Look how we had two competitors out of the same conference competing for a national championship. Now, when we wake up tomorrow, there's a very strong possibility that there will not be one national champion. There will be a co-national championship. Why? Because they've beaten each other.
Well, that will not happen, Andrew. I'll tell you why. We have come up with this bit. When I went to Dave Weatherly and I went to Bill Sutton and I said, I want a BCS championship game. I'm tired of fooling around. We need to have one national champion. They said, okay, what do you want to do? And I said, here are my ideas. Now what we put into place, Andrew, is this. Now we have a national champion. It's Alabama. Technically, you are not allowed, nor would the Associated Press or ABC or any of these bowls, they are not allowed to talk about anybody else being a national champion. If they do, obviously they're going to get a few people upset with them. So you're not even allowed. And so I have to ask you, Andrew, what do you mean tomorrow we'll have another we have only one national champion. So tomorrow.
So, what about Andrew, let me jump in. Aren't you talking about, Andrew, the fact Oklahoma State, there's a lot of schools that might make a claim for that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I don't understand what you guys are talking about. That schools, they won't, they don't,
the rankings,
what do you mean?
The Associated Press rankings.
Oh, I understand that, but
there's a strong possibility between the computers and the press. Is there not a strong difference that LSU could come out on top, or also Alabama? Just like the differences between Alabama topping Oklahoma State in the rankings, when several Oklahoma State.
They are not allowed. They are not allowed. If they do that, they're not allowed to do that. They can do whatever they want, but they know that when they do that, they're going to get a lot of people angry at them. I told them not to do that. I would ask you, Andrew, not to discuss that kind of thing. Well, we're trying to get football fans to just say, shut up. We're trying to get you and all.
But at the end of the day, my question, how do you feel, how do you believe that this system has become helpful for college football if every year, like I said, the champions and the finalists have become more and more debatable? How is this system better than the bracketed system?
Well, look, the bracketed system, that was debatable too. You had, back in those days, we had co-national champions, all this nonsense, three national champions sometimes. It's ridiculous. It's like got like boxing is, you know. You got the IBF, BBF, BBB, you know. I don't know. So I think this is much better because you can debate. There's always going to be people debating. But when they debate, they just get me more and more. I don't like people, you know, because that's a slap to my face. I was instrumental in starting this game. So when a guy at the AP says, no, that's not true, I want to go down there and just kick his ass. I don't know how else to put it, you know. So,
but the question is, how does this help college football?
It helps college football. It helps college football.
But how?
Well, would you guys, if I say because I said so, is that something you guys are going to accept or not?
AM 1520.
Hey, young man. Are you talking to your mother or what? Hello?
Yes, sir.
What's this kid doing?
No, I'm trying to get
all right. If you ask me, what's good for you, ask me, is the BCS good for college football? Here's my answer. Yes, it is, because I said so.
That's not an answer.
Yes, it is an answer.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Because you
guess
said.
What? Guess what? As a spectator in college sports, even as a former collegiate athlete, and a college student, that's not a good answer.
I just said to you, it's going to have to, you ask me, is it good? Because I said it is. Okay? Just let that be the answer.
Why is that the answer?
Why is that the, because I said it's the answer. I'm sick and tired of
the finalists for the past couple of years, how they get shoved down my throat the same way also.
Well, now, wait a minute. What do you mean? You know what? If your favorite team won this year, then I'd think something was getting shoved down my throat.
My favorite team has never won the BCS, and I'm fine with that.
Who's your favorite team?
I'm actually a Georgia Bulldog fan. Go Dogs.
Are you kidding? Those guys couldn't. They couldn't win beads at an arcade.
Hopping on the bandwagon.
Well, no, wait a second. Now, you know that Georgia, they wouldn't be able to win beads at a Penny Arcade bowling. So I'm saying to you.
Well, wait. No, why? This young man, Baylor beat him.
Did your team lose to Baylor this year? It's okay.
Who lost to Baylor? If you're talking about Baylor, that's the flukiest ball club ever. Baylor is a fluke. Let's talk.
Who do I root for?
Alabama.
Alabama.
You know why I root?
You are quite the bandwagon. So now Nick Saban.
Bandwagon. Excuse me. No, wait. Now, what's wrong with rooting for a good football team? Is there something wrong with that? Is that against the law?
I'm rooting for East Texas. I like Oklahoma State. They have a great wrestling program and a great football program. So, yeah, I think Oklahoma State deserves a shot because the week that they lost to Iowa was the same week that they had those tragic plane crashes, and that should have been taken into account.
They got to suck it up. See, that's what I'm talking about. I can't handle that. I can't have that. I can't use that.
Who said he rooted for LSU and Alabama during the national championship.
I like Alabama now. You know why? Because I like good football. Don't you? Yes.
I love good football.
Oklahoma. All right. Oklahoma State, who are the guys that died in the plane crash? How do you expect? I'm sorry that that happened, but guess what? You got to suck that up, friend. You just
Oh, you just got to suck it up, huh?
That's exactly right. Suck it up and get out and play football. I like Alabama because they won the national championship. But you guys are doing too much discussion here. I said that that's a good system, and that's what I just got done saying, and I'm done saying it.
That's not discussing. That's not talk radio. That's not why we're here.
You know, talk radio has destroyed college football. We've finally gotten college football where it needs to be with a
college
national champion.
College football is not where it needs to be. College football is a mess. You've got athletes like they've never been outside of their home when they're out on these bowl games. If you look,
and they haven't been.
Look at LSU's roster. They had at least five players out of the starting 22 that are on the field that have at least served a one-game suspension this year for off-the-field incidents.
Exactly.
Out of
and guess what happened? And
I don't think
right. Guess what? And guess what happened? They got their ass handed to them, didn't they? They got their rear end handed to them in the game, and that's the way it ought to be because Alabama's a better team, and I think it's a great system.
Alabama was
all right. Well, look at
what were you saying in November, though? I'm pretty sure if we would have talked to you in November. In November,
I said I still like them.
Oh, bull crap! You didn't like.
I liked them. I've always loved them. I've loved them.
You listen,
and I can tell you what, sir. The Georgia Bulldogs. You know what? You use the Georgia Bulldogs. You know what you can do with the Georgia Bulldogs? If you entered those guys in Fiji rugby, they might win.
LSU side. You said you knew Les Miles and several coaches on the staff. But yeah, you're rooting for Alabama and Nick Saban. Now,
exactly.
Are you rooting?
And the reason I did that is because I love LSU and I love everybody there. But those guys, they couldn't win a football game if you spotted them 50 points and put a shotgun to the heads of all their children.
LSU, would you be saying this right now?
No.
Okay, we got to take a break. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break. You're all over the road on this thing tonight, Vernon, and I that's fine. I mean, first of all, you're claiming that you had a hand in creating the BCS.
No, I'm not making any claim. I did.
Okay, you love Alabama, and it's because I said so.
Phil, there is far too much discussion about, is he a champ? Do you hear people saying that in the NFL? Do you hear people in the NFL saying, gee, I don't think, you know, Green Bay should have won the Super Bowl. I think that you can make a case for New England. Are you kidding me? Only in college football do they even tolerate that. I say the time has come to shut it. I mean, shut it.
All right, we'll be...
I mean to shut it.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have on the line with us here Vernon Dozier from Belbar Academy in Glendale, California, as we talk about the BCS game that has just been completed, the BCS game between Alabama and LSU, a 21-0 rout by LSU. You just said that you liked, or excuse me, by Alabama. You just said that you liked LSU.
No, I said, Phil, if you heard me very carefully, I said that I am from Texas. I'm from East Texas, and I have a... I've got a soft spot for LSU. That young man that I just talked to, he benched Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's good. You know, I wouldn't write home about him. I won't kid you. I mean, but look, Alabama won. That means they're the best team in the country. There's no discussion. There's no debate. When we allow the debate, when we allow it to happen, that's when it gets out of control. When we countenance it, and I'm calling on the sports writers of America tonight, and I'm saying this, I'll get on my knees and beg for it because they're the ones that started. They're the ones that caused the rancor, and they caused the debate, and they caused the bad blood. Every single year, some sports writer who isn't getting paid enough, who wants to get on a TV talk show, you know how they all like to be, you know, want to get on that sports talk TV show? And they all want to be that Mitch, that guy in Detroit.
Mitch Albom.
Yeah, they all want to have... Every year, one of them starts some trouble. They start talking about this team should have won, that team should be, this team should be. Every single year, and all it does is cause heartache. All it causes is just a night full of heartache. So I'm asking them, for once in their lives, to write about something other than their asinine, opinion about the national championship. Because I'll tell you this, these guys do not know what time it is out on the street, man. You know, like what's his name used to say, Ice Bucket, or what was the name of that guy?
Ice-T.
They talk and talk and talk and yak and yak and yak. They don't know nothing. I told them to shut up. I told them I didn't want to hear it. They didn't listen to me. Now they keep on blah, blah, blah. Now I got to deal with guys like that kid that just, I mean, that young man's a nice guy, but, you know, I had to deal with him. Blah, 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 about his favorite team. It's going to happen again tomorrow. You watch. You mark my words.
Well, I mean, that young man pretty much called it that it was going to happen tomorrow. No question about it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Vernon said he was from Fillmore, Texas, I'm from Kilgore, Texas.
I'm from Kilgore, Texas, East Texas.
You've got to be some kind of high school coach or something, probably. Anyways, in reference to that young guy.
Why do you say that?
Before, he seemed to know what he was talking about, and as far as
I helped get the BCS started. I got the BCS started.
They're the most winningest team when they had the SEC that there ever was. And Oklahoma
what?
And Nebraska.
No, they're not.
You talk about some good college football teams. My God, nobody will ever compare to those records between those two teams. But thanks for your comment.
I don't doubt what you say about Oklahoma and Nebraska. Georgia. This year, are you talking about this year, or you want to go off into fairy tale land? I'm talking about this year. Georgia stinks. There's no other way to put it. Oklahoma, Nebraska, they're good states. I mean, the drive through. I don't want to live there anymore than I want to watch their football. That leaves what? Louisiana?
On the long haul. That's what makes college football. And radio
okay.
talk show.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, because that young man called up and he wanted to talk about the BCS. He said, well, how's this game help? I said, this game helped a lot. Look at that. Alabama kicked LSU's tail in. So LSU going to go back to Baton Rouge now, and they're going to have to rework their whole attitude about, hey, we're relaxed. They played that. Oh, man, that was bad. So now Alabama is the champion. Tomorrow, when they start talking about, oh, no, I think it's Oklahoma State. Oh, no, I think it's this, that. I'm telling them now, not you, sir, but all the sports writers listening, shut your mouths, shut up, because you're going to get some stuff started, or I'm going to...
You're going to what?
I don't know.
You're going to what?
It drives me nuts. It drives me ape. Who's your favorite team, sir?
Well, it's Oklahoma. Always has been.
Well, what are you laughing at the guy for?
Are you kidding me? Oklahoma.
Well,
I
think Texas has got a team every once in a while, but, they just never get past
Oklahoma, where the wind. You know, here's what I think about Oklahoma. I think it's a great place. Well, I shouldn't say.
Great place to what?
I did this joke at a banquet, and people didn't like it.
A great place to what?
You're asking me to tell a joke.
Well, if it's a... What are you saying?
I got in trouble because I told the joke at the banquet.
What was the joke?
I said it was a great place to blow up a federal building. Did you just ask me to tell a joke or didn't you?
All right, I didn't know that. You know what?
What?
That's the most tasteless, stupid, asinine thing to say at any banquet, any public place, anything.
I told you that I didn't want to tell it.
You told it in the first place.
Are you? You're from Oklahoma, sir. The guy on the phone.
Yeah. Oh God, I hope.
I apologize then.
Oh, that's just great.
A place called Sarah, Oklahoma.
Sarah, Oklahoma.
All right.
Sarah, Oklahoma.
Thank you very much thank you for your call, sir. Thank you. 877-876 Phil. That was the worst.
Was it the worst? Look, Phil, you told me to tell the joke, and...
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. I can't believe you told that joke in public.
Yeah, I did. I just told it again.
Yeah, that's right.
At your behest. So thank you, Phil Hendry. That joke's been told twice in public. Once on a national radio show. Oh, my God.
Well, buddy, I didn't write it. You know, you told it.
You wanted to hear it.
I didn't know it was that much of a... In any event, thank you very much, Vernon, and,
Thank you for what? I give you a BCS game, and I got the kid calling and telling me that it hasn't done any good. I got another guy telling me all about the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia Bulldogs are fine, fine people. They're good people. They always are good people. As football players, I can't comment. As people, they're good guys. I've drunk beer. I've drunk liquor. I've drunk buckets of liquor with them. I've had steaks with them. I've known a lot of them. But to play football, is that what you mean?
Yes, football.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't entrust the Georgia Bulldog with pads, a helmet, and a football if all they were going to do was sit on the floor and kind of roll them around between their legs.
Okay, man.
I can always tell the tone of voice. This is when I'm going to get hung.
Thank you very much. Vernon Dozier, ladies and gentlemen. God, can you believe that joke?
What was wrong with that?
What do you mean, what was wrong with that?
They blowed up a building in Oklahoma, you dumbass.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? You read the paper? God, man, it was one of the biggest news events of the last 40 years, as far as I'm concerned. It was horrible. Anyway, Vernon Dozier and this claim that he helped start the BCS. Well, now, isn't that something? And some guy died?
Yeah, he claimed a guy died from pneumonia or something. I looked it up.
Not called pneumonia, man. It's called pneumonia.
No, it isn't.
Give me that, bud. You don't pronounce the P.
Oh.
It's pneumonia, okay? And that guy, he bugged until the guy died? Good Lord. If I'd have known that, man, now I agree with that other guy. I don't like the BCS game. My view of that BCS game tonight was whatever. Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to ask because I'm not a college football fan. You know, I'm just not a college football fan. To me, it's like going out and getting excited about AAA baseball. I mean, fine, but it's not the big time game. The big time game, and I know why I'm not. And I say this with respect to people who love college football. I know why I'm not a college football fan. I don't have an alma mater. I mean, if I did, I'd be very much into it.
Yeah, you don't even have no college degree.
That's right, I don't. So I put it on me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the game. It's me. If I had an alma mater, if I'd graduated from a school, I'd be going, hey, you know. I think that's what keeps the game going, the college football game. It's the Phil Hendry Show, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. More to come here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
They certainly don't walk around with a sign on them saying...
I said we should go out again. And he said that would be great.
The blacks. Some of my best friends are black.
A few short weeks ago, I came to the house floor after having purchased an iPad.
George Bush doesn't care about children.
Yeah! All right! Live from Coachella! World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And this is a radio show, by the way, that... is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this hour, my godson Joe is in Coachella, California tonight for the Coachella Music Festival, and I got a tweet. I saw his tweet there. I was actually going to ask him to call, you know, but
you're sure you have to call up.
I don't know. It's too much of a hassle. But anyway, his tweet was, you know, something. He's having a lot of fun, but $9 beers, I ain't digging.
You're kidding me.
No, $9 beers, so they're so it's nice to know that people are still entrepreneurially motivated, baby. And speaking of being motivated, on this radio show, lockstep together, shoulder to shoulder, arms locked, we walk right over top of the dumb, soft heads of liberals everywhere. 877-876-PHIL. The story here is about California mandating gay history in schools. California Senate
mandates, now this is a bill, so it hasn't been passed yet, but the California Senate would mandate gay history in schools. We're going to have Doug Danger on, who is a gay man and a gay journalist, as he says. He is with the Orange County Courier to talk with us about this. In the meantime, State Senator Mark Leno, who's a Democrat from San Francisco, explained to MSNBC why he has pushed for this legislation.
You know, we are currently censoring our history books when we specifically exclude LGBT Americans from our lessons. Since the 1970s, our education code has required that the role and contributions of women, African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans, European Americans be included in our history studies. We are failing our students, and I can document that by the tragic and ever-growing epidemic of bullying on our school campuses, and we are not helping them by denying them the fact of a civil rights movement and that there is a history here and there have been leaders, not unlike Harvey Milk.
All right, so that is State Senator Mark Leno, and you heard him weighing in there on this bill that would mandate the teaching of gay history. Gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender people would be added to the lengthy list of social and ethnic groups that public schools must include in social studies. Joining me on the line, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier in Santa Ana, California. Doug, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very good, Phil, and this is very welcome news.
All right, Doug, that's what I was going to ask you. The bill, if the bill is adopted, according to the story, by the State Assembly and signed by Governor Jerry Brown, it would become the first state to require the teaching of gay history. So you're very, very pleased, I take it, with this progress.
Well, first of all, the first thing I have to do is I have to ask, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've worked and been out of the closet now for 90 days, so I've worked very hard, and I have worked a long, long road of discrimination and being looked down upon by straights to get to this point. So I have to ask every straight person that I know, and that would start with you, Phil. How do you feel about this?
I feel it's good. I think that history is important.
Yeah, but I can tell you there's a little bit of a qualification there in your voice.
No, there's no qualification. I think history is important. See, to me, history is truth. There's no fooling around with history. There's no people try to do it. People try to take history and they lie about it. They manipulate it. They say things happened that didn't happen. They say things had an effect that they didn't have. But there's no question at all, that gay people have throughout history played important parts in the development in fact, the other night I was talking about a man who was instrumental in breaking the German Enigma Code in World War II. He was a member of the MI6 group of British scientists and agents who broke the German code and allowed the Allies to eavesdrop on German communications in World War II. This poor man went to jail because he was a homosexual and eventually died.
What was his name, though?
His name escapes me.
See, that right there. I knew I'd get you, because for a minute there I was beginning to respect you, and I do respect you, Phil, and I think very highly of you. But you're straight. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right, and we have to educate the straight people, the straight kids, and the gay kids to the role that gay people played in. And for a minute there, I thought maybe you knew what you were talking about, but of course you don't. You're a straight man. And
what does that mean? Of course I don't. The fact that I even know that information.
Well, you know that information because you read a book about World War II and about espionage. Just so happened the guy was gay.
Well, maybe it did just so happen the guy was gay. But I mean, it's information like that when I read information like that. But here's my question. The larger questions we talk here with Doug Danger, folks, about a bill that would mandate the teaching of gay history in California schools. My question for you is the following thing. Are you satisfied with this bill? Are you satisfied with what it's calling for? Are you satisfied with the consult with teachers, with parents?
Well, that right there, you just said something that I'm not satisfied with. I believe that the role of parents is very important. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I think that the history of gay people in this country, the history of LGBT people in this country, has been kept away from the school books. It's been kept away from the kids long enough. And if this so-called consult with teachers and so-called consult with parents is an excuse just to drag this out, we won't stand for it. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. It's very important, Phil, that for thousands of years, gay people have been covered up in history. And so now we need, there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, we need a kind of a gay affirmative action. I think that there needs to be a gay overlay on the historical narrative. And
what do you mean gay affirmative action? You're talking about in employment?
No. I'm talking about in history. The other night you were talking about Abraham Lincoln, and you were mentioning that some of Lincoln's correspondence with some of his male friends seemed floral. And you said at the time that was normal for men, and you said it was normal for men to sleep in the same bed at that time.
It was.
All right, and that may be true. And it may be true that Abraham Lincoln was not gay.
Well, I don't think there's any indication, there's no evidence that Abraham Lincoln was gay.
Well, but you see, that may be, but the historical narrative I think we can lay on that is that he was gay. And why do I want to say that Abraham Lincoln was gay? I don't know whether he was or not, but I think the time has come for us to, whereby we have an affirmative action that we, if you will, we gay up history. And
gay up history. Now, that's exactly what I was just talking about. I said that history needs to be truth.
History is truth. It is truth.
How do you say that Abraham Lincoln was gay when you know that he wasn't?
I say that Abraham Lincoln was gay when I know that he wasn't because he slept in the same bed with men, and you could easily overlay a gay narrative on that. Same thing with James Buchanan.
I don't understand what that means, overlay a gay narrative. What does that mean?
He slept in the same bed with another guy.
Abraham, let me tell you this. Abraham Lincoln was a circuit lawyer, and in those days, literally, you rode the circuit. You were on horses, and you went from courthouse to courthouse with the same judges and the same lawyers. He, in fact, traveled the circuit at one time with William Seward, who became his Secretary of State. He and William Seward slept in the same bed. William Seward was about 5 foot nothing with red hair. Abraham Lincoln was 6 foot five with a beard. They probably looked ridiculous, sleeping head to toe.
Well, how do you know they weren't gay? Or had some kind of a gay romantic involvement.
A romantic involvement? I just got done telling you, it was a standard thing for men to share. It was a standard thing for lodgers to share the same bed. When you went to a rooming house in those days, you didn't get a room. You got part of a bed.
Well, again, and you can fancy it up all you want, Phil. We've got a lot of work to do. We have got gay people have been stepped on and kept out of the historical narrative of this country long enough, and we've got to gay it up. And we've got to make sure that young people especially know that gay people had a huge, huge process here.
By the way, that man's name was Alan Turing, the British agent who was involved in the cracking of the German Enigma code, a gay man who suffered greatly in his life for that. All right, we're talking here with Doug Danger. Our number is 877-876-7445. Parents have got to be involved in this process.
No, there's no time.
Parents have got to be involved in the process, Doug, only from the standpoint of implementing this narrative so that this narrative, listen to me, I'm using your word, this...
it's a gay, we want to make sure we got a gay narrative going here. James Buchanan, was he gay?
James Buchanan, look, but the parents, whatever you want to do, and I don't think you mess with history, whatever you want to do, you have to bring the parents into this and say to them, here is what we're going to be teaching, here is first grade, second grade, whatever.
There's no time, and gay people have been shut out. We've been shut out of the historical party like people who, you know, weren't wearing the right clothes. I mean, we didn't get past the velvet rope of history. Well, let me tell you something, Phil. It's been a long, hard road. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yeah.
All right, so that means that I've made it past a lot of velvet ropes in my time as a journalist, as a gay man and a gay journalist, but I haven't made it past the velvet rope of history, and all that's going to change. And so in order to do that, you want me to involve the parents. The parents are going to slow it up, gum it up, muck it up. And
the parents are always and will always be involved in when you consult on particularly controversial lines of curriculum. And
what's controversial about putting people in a history book?
There's nothing controversial about including gay people, but you have to let parents know because it has been a controversial part of our society in terms of whether gay people are married. Some people may react really weird. You know,
we have mollycoddled people long enough. We've held their hand, we've wiped their rear ends, we've blown their noses, we've changed their diapers. You know, we've rinsed out their cotton diapers and given them those the plastic jobs that you snap the Pampers. Is that it? I mean, we have a generation of parents that want a figurative Pampers diaper on their figurative, and they mess them, you know, figuratively mess themselves. So we have to figuratively put a pamper on them. And
what do you mean figuratively mess themselves? What is that?
I'm talking about what a bunch of babies they are. Parents are getting in the way, and we've got to begin now to get this gay narrative into our schools. And to that end, of course, our roadshow starts, as you know, Phil, next month, where I'm going to be going to different elementary schools and different grade schools, bringing with me LGBT people. I'm bringing a couple of drag queens. And what we do is we show the kids what what are we? And one of the parts of it is I bring in a lesbian woman, Candy Taylor. I don't know if you know her or not.
No. Well, yeah, I met her.
Okay. Well, Candy's real, real butch, and it's a part of the program we call What Is It? So she stands there, and I point at her, and I go, okay, kids, what is it? You know, is it, you know, what is it? What is it, a man, or is it, what is it? You know.
Well, that's very respectful.
Oh, give me a break, will ya?
Well, that's, what is that, man?
So kids can be familiar with what a dyke looks like. You know, we have been shut out of the historical narrative. This is what we've been forced to do by straights to catch up. I got to go from one school to the next with a freak show. You think I want to do that? I would much rather have been able to say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Hi, how you kids doing? And this is gay history. I can't do that now. We got to hurry up. So I got to go from town to town, school to school, like a traveling carnival freak. Like I got trailers full of freaks, and I got tattoos from here to there.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our guest, Doug Danger, says parents should not have a say in the teaching of gay history in our schools, the curriculum, and so forth. Shouldn't they? Of course. 877-876-7445. Plus, I got to be honest with you, Doug is gay, but this whole traveling roadshow of LGBT and gay people, where he stands them up in front of the class and goes, what is it? We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour coming up next hour. And Margaret Gray is going to join myself, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard. She's going to sing a couple of songs for childhood obesity awareness. California Senate bill has been introduced that would mandate the teaching of gay history in schools. If the bill is adopted by the state assembly and signed by Governor Brown, it would become the first state, California would become the first state to require the teaching of gay history. Governor Brown has not indicated whether or not he supports the bill. I read a book on gay history called The Gay Metropolis. I love history. I don't think there's any history that shouldn't be taught. And we're certainly aware of the fact that African-American, especially our African-American soldiers, were locked out of history for so long. And now we're finding the contribution. All I'm saying to you, Doug, is this.
No, you're talking about involving the parents, and what you want to do is slow the process down, Phil. I know you're a good man.
And I don't want to slow the process down. I want to make sure that parents are involved in the knowledge that this is being taught.
But again, this slows the process down. It slows down, with all due respect to these parents who are going to attend a school board meeting. They're going to stand there and start asking, forgive me for saying this, but mostly stupid questions about, oh, is my kid going to go gay? You know, we've answered that question a million different ways. I don't want to go down that road anymore. And so we've got to get the curriculum in there tomorrow. We've got to get...
You'd do it that fast, wouldn't you?
You better believe it.
Tomorrow. If you could do it tomorrow.
Yeah, you better believe I would. What? You're the guy that says... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? Okay, Phil? Phil?
Yes, I know that, man. But I'm saying to you...
Well, you know, look, your homophobia is your business, and you can deal with that any way you want. I mean, you've got to meet your maker someday.
That's not homophobia, Doug. All I'm saying is you want to shove, and look at man, I believe in history, okay?
You almost said the phrase, shove it down our throats. How do you like that?
No, I said shove it into, I was going to say shove it into the curriculum.
No, you weren't. You were going to say you gays want to shove your lifestyle. Phil, you can pretend like you're liberal on this subject, and
I consider myself a conservative, and I think it is a conservative's position to embrace history in all of its truths. But to say that you want to jam this into the school curriculum without so much as consulting the parents, I think is wrong, okay? And now you want to bring drag queens and gender benders to the elementary schools. You need the parents' permission. You need to explain this. You need to bring, put it into context.
No way. No, no, you're not slowing it down. You and the other straights are not slowing this down anymore, okay? This freight train of history is on its way. We've been stepped on and slowed down long enough. Now, I'm going to bring in this lesbian that I know, Candy, and later on, as we do the presentation, I'll say to the kids, okay, now, here it is.
And here it is.
It's a guessing game, that's all.
877-876-7445 is the number. Let's take a phone call. Sean in Mobile, Alabama, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Sean, go ahead, please.
Yes, Phil. I am calling to say, first off, here's the deal. We're all Americans, number one. The thing is, we know that gay Americans have done a lot for this nation, and I do not deny that. The thing is, what we have to do is, do you want to raise your children to believe certain things? I am a Christian, first off. I do not believe in homosexuality. I do not believe that you're born that way. I believe it is a choice.
If you choose... The gay history is the freight train of inevitability, sir. You know? And
but you are saying you don't want to consult with a man like Sean or any of these parents.
This man doesn't even think I chose this. Like, I chose to be discriminated against. Like, you chose to be black.
Let me say this, my friend. First thing you did was say, as a black gay journalist,
I'm a white man. I'm a white man, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Yes.
Okay, I apologize for that. That's first thing you said was gay journalist. The separation that you are putting out there is hurting Americans right now. You are just as bad as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to black people, okay? You are hurting the gay community. And the reason I'm saying that is because, like, for instance, Kobe Bryant got in trouble for saying a bad word, the F word. Now, I'm a black man that doesn't use the N-word, okay? I do not believe in the N-word. As far as I'm concerned, that's a word that is trash. Now,
I don't degrade anyone that uses that word, okay?
As an American, you have free speech. Now, here's the deal. You guys want the freedoms of America, but then all of a sudden, soon as mud is thrown, you want to just jump up and go, oh, my God, I'm a victim. You can't.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't jump up and say I'm a victim unless I'm beaten up, unless the law is broken. I don't jump up and say I'm a victim. If somebody discriminates against me, sure, I jump up and say I'm a victim. But now, I'm a gay man. Are you aware of the fact that I'm gay?
I'm going to apologize for saying the F-word, okay?
Well, wouldn't you want me to apologize if I said the N-word? Of course you would. You might even kick my ass.
I'm saying the truth. As an American, you have the right to say what you want to say. I'm not that word. I'm a black American.
Are you aware that I'm gay? You know that I'm gay and I'll live my life. Am I gay? That's good.
Phil Henry.
Never did admit that I'm gay.
Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Here with me is Doug Danger.
But you know that.
I know that, Doug. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier is joining us. He's a writer, gay man, gay journalist. I understand that. You're asking that last gentleman, you know I'm gay, And maybe his opinions about gay people, perhaps, or being gay was not the most, enlightened. But the fact is, he was making some points, and there you are with the N-word.
I didn't call him an N-word, Phil. I said I used the N-word, but only against white gays. And that must have stunned him, because he didn't say nothing.
All right, we're talking here about California voting, at least the California State Senate has voted, to now begin to teach gay history in school. Now, this has not yet been passed. I don't know personally, and I'm a conservative through and through, and I don't know that this is necessarily a bad thing. I think that we need the history of our country. We've seen the damage
that not telling the true story of history can do. It damaged a lot of great and brave people, black people, soldiers, all kinds of people. We're left out of the historical narrative of our country, and we finally recognize the contributions of all kinds of people. So I don't disagree with that.
Then why will you not allow that I have the Traveling Gay Show?
Because you're treating it like it's a freak show. Now, let me ask you something. You said that parents should not be involved, that too much time has elapsed.
Bill, you want to have the parents and the school boards involved in the slow implementation of this gay curriculum because you feel somehow the children will be, this is very sensitive material. You may be right, but the fact is we have waited too long to have gay history taught in schools. This is the super chief of historical imperative. Get out of the way. Get off the tracks. Society waited too long. Now, gay parents, that's a different story, of course, because we need to pass down the oral traditions of our culture to our young, to the gay, to the young gay ones. And so,
what is this again?
The gay parents would be involved in implementing the curriculum because they have certain oral traditions, like the Native American, passed down traditions and laws and culture from long ago, from one set of adults to the next. Gays have done the same thing. We passed down the legacy of the gay, how gays did things, how did a gay, it may be something as stupid as how did gays make fire,
How did gays make fire? You got to be kidding me.
I'm talking about the spoken tradition, okay?
So, but here's the thing. You want gay parents involved, but not straight parents. And
yeah, because gay parents know the, gay parents know the gay tradition. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not gay, so I'm taking myself out of that particular equation. But I will tell you that once the gay parents have been involved in the implementation of the curriculum and these traditions have been passed down, then we go to phase two and the Traveling Gay Show. And
you got this thing. This is a freak show, and I warn you, Doug.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What are you warning me about?
I warn you that you run the risk of turning gay people into some kind of a traveling freak show, just as you said, and not people to be respected and people to be integrated into history. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Akron, Ohio. Nathan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Nathan. I think we can all agree that all three of us want the accurate teaching of history, and if we can all agree on that, then it seems like Doug...
I think Mr. Henry wants straight people to run it.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
You're not advocating the teaching of accurate history. What you're advocating is the teaching of gay history, as exemplified through you saying that Abraham Lincoln is gay, regardless of whether that's factual or not. That's just how you want it taught.
We need to have that narrative because we've been cut out. We need to have some gay. There's got to be a gay somewhere.
Well, what does that mean? There's got to be a gay.
Why is sexuality so important to historical teaching? Why does it matter if you're married or unmarried or gay or straight as to your historical accomplishments?
Until we find out who the actual gay players of history were in American history and elsewhere, we're going to have some prominent gay figures. And I say we use ones that already have suspect behavior. And
boy, that is that you talk about stupid.
Stupid?
Yes, stupid. Stupid. Abraham Lincoln slept in the same bed with other men. That's what men did then. James Buchanan.
James Buchanan, was, excuse my language, queer as a $3 bill.
No, I do not know that. In fact, the historical research now tells us that James Buchanan was simply asexual. He didn't have sex with women or men.
What are you talking about? Boy, you'll lie about anything, won't you, to get your way.
I'm not lying, man. I agree with Nathan. If you don't have accurate history, what's the point?
You would take a queer like James Buchanan and turn him into what?
You don't have any evidence that James Buchanan was gay.
You don't that he isn't.
I've got letters written, and I have the analysis of historians who say that James Buchanan simply was not interested in sex.
Yeah, right.
Doug, if we're so concerned with teaching accurate history, what about the fact that the United States is based on Christian beliefs? Why are they no longer taught in history at the forefront? That's the basis of our country. That's an important part of history, and yet it's not really taught. What about that? Well, you advocate for that as well.
You sound like that guy in... Napoleon Dynamite, by the way. But I would say that...
What is that, whatever that's supposed to mean?
Resorting to deflections and cheap insults.
I'm just saying, you sound like the guy in Napoleon Dynamite.
Why don't you answer the question? Why do we not long? Why do we no longer teach Christianity?
There's nothing wrong, and there are public schools that do comparative religious study when you're talking about religion from the standpoint of a historical study. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think we should do it. And I think there are schools that do it. But I don't believe we indoctrinate. I do believe, but I'm gay, all right? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That's all I care about. I care about the religion of gay. I care about the religion of queer, if you want to put it that way.
The religion of queer. And I want to ask, you know, I'm going to find out about this spoken gay tradition.
Just like you never heard of Native Americans.
I've heard of Native Americans with a spoken tradition. I didn't know that gay people passed theirs down.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Doug, you're a gay journalist. Does the fact that you're gay make you a better or worse journalist?
Better.
Why is that significant to the fact you're a journalist?
Because I got a better BS detector. Because of all the years of discrimination, I got more of a BS detector than people. I know when someone's trying to, you know, yank it and crank it, and I know when someone's giving me the straight scoop.
Oh, boy. All right, Nathan, thanks for your call, sir. Well, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, right? Right? Sir?
He knows that, man. He knows. Thanks very much, Nathan. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. And, you know, so this idea that you need some gay affirmative action to overlay a gay historical narrative.
Exactly. Well, look at Phil. You look at a man. Let's take a historical figure like George Patton. George Patton was a great general. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Are you going to deny that because of me being gay and having what we've called on your show many times homo-eye or the ability to gay it up or gay-eye or gay vision, I can look at a guy like George Patton and say, this guy carried ivory-handled revolvers and he ain't queer? Yeah. All right, Mr. Homophobe.
Whoa, man. You know, I'm a homophobe when you come off with a line like George Patton had ivory-handled revolvers and he ain't queer.
Right. That's exactly what I said.
That's how you decide, huh?
I'm saying where there's smoke, there's fire. We've never been able to find out about George Patton because they've covered up the legacy and the history of George Patton because he's a great American and he did help win World War II. But let's face it, he's walking around in riding pants, got the ivory handle revolvers, looking for all the world like some kind of dancing queen. You know,
well, I wouldn't know, man. And I'll tell you this, of everybody I've ever talked to, you're the first guy that ever took one look at George Patton and said, he's got to be gay. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jason in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll try to get to my point quick. This guy, I don't understand what his agenda is. Hello?
Hello? Right here, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jason. We're here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I don't understand what his agenda is. I mean, is he trying to say that gays are more important than straight people in history? Because I thought, you know, I've always been taught that history was based on facts. And, you know, I don't understand the point of what it matters. You know,
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. History is based on facts, but gay people have been shut out of history for so long, we've got to make up for lost time. So
you sound like someone who just bought a new sports car, you know. They go out, they tell all their friends, they're like, hey, you know, I got this new sports car. It's the best thing on the planet. I want to tell everybody about it. You know, you said you've only been out of the closet for 90 days. That's what it sounds like what you're doing. You're going out and you're trying to say, hey, I'm gay. Look at this. You know, it's the best thing on the planet. It's for everybody. Well, it's not for everybody.
No, you're missing my point. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? So
I know that. You keep saying
what
that.
To have been in the closet, right? Well, you know that?
It doesn't
Are
matter
you there,
to
sir?
Me.
You know that I'm gay, though.
Look at Doug. Of course the man
yes,
knows
I
you're gay.
Do,
everybody
of course.
Does.
You keep right. saying it. You said it 30 times in the last hour.
Well, you haven't referenced it at all. You're talking about all kinds of problems I got, but you never once said
I'm not saying you have any problem. I'm asking you questions, sir. I'm saying I don't understand your agenda. It's like, you know, anything on the left. You know, you try to put things out there to
right.
confuse the rest
right.
of the population into believing your side of the story. That's all you want is your side of the story. And I don't see your side of the story. I don't see the
I'm not trying to confuse you.
But no, I agree with this young man because you liberals always, you don't mind being wrong so long as you got a fallback position. And you guys are wrong a lot, and you're proven wrong a lot. But that doesn't matter to you. You just go to your fallback position.
And what fallback position have I got?
Now yours is gay affirmative action. We'll take the narrative of history and overlay gayness on it because it isn't fair that we've been cut out of history.
That's exactly right. And I would ask you and this gentleman, all I'm bringing up is this, Jason. James Buchanan he was president of the United States, okay? You know James Buchanan?
I know who he is, yes.
Okay. This guy never got married. His niece was the official hostess of the White House. Queer?
I think that's really messed up.
A guy doesn't get married. James Buchanan or Abraham Lincoln were gay. You're barking up the wrong tree, sir, because I didn't know either one of those guys, and so I'm not going to believe it unless I hear it out of their mouths, which is never going to happen. So, pushing your agenda. That's all you're doing. Pushing your agenda, like anyone on the left. You know, it doesn't matter who you hurt. You want to bring gays into the classroom, and you want to teach them that gay is the right way. All you're trying to say is gay is the right way.
And I'm saying that gay, no, I didn't say that. I said the gay is a way, and if there's a gay out there, you tell me it ain't George Patton.
That's the part I don't like. I mean, I agree with teaching history, and I agree with teaching all history. But when you start taking people and saying, well, we've been cut out of history so long, let's just make James Buchanan gay, or Abraham Lincoln gay, or George Patton gay. Why? Because he had ivory-handled revolvers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And nothing says dancing queen like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Doug,
I see.
Back when George Patton was carrying ivory-handled revolvers, that was the most expensive revolver that you could buy. It was the nicest thing. It was a way to show class. It was a way to show...
And that's why only queers had them.
No. Queers didn't have any money back then any more than a straight person did.
Queers had more money then, just like they got more money now.
All right.
You're making assumptions.
I think that this is a ridiculous argument.
Do you want people to make assumptions? Do you want people to make assumptions about you based on your sexuality? I don't
that
think
I'm
so.
Rich.
I think
I'm rich. Yeah. And gay people are rich. You know it. I know it. He knows it. She knows it.
I'm not making any assumptions about your sexuality. I'm not judging you. I'm saying that you shouldn't force feed it to our children in a way
that history needs to be taught.
History does need to be taught, but accurate history needs to be taught, not phony baloney. Thank you very much, Jason, for your call. Not, because he had ivory-handled revolvers, he was a dancing queen, not because the guy never got married, you know, but because it's actual part of history.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, which you don't want me to say. And
I can't keep you from saying it, man.
Well, then, hear this and hear it real good. As a gay man, a gay journalist, I'm going to get the gay history curriculum into the schools under the auspices and guidance of gay parents and hand it down from one gay chief to the next. And
put him on hold, and I want somebody get... What is this gay chief stuff?
What are you talking about?
I want to know whether there's such a thing as handing down the oral tradition of being gay.
Well,
don't get cute. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman coming up next hour in our news hour. And we'll be back with our final segment here with Doug Danger on whether or not gay history, gay history should be taught. History should be taught, but shouldn't parents have a greater hand in the teaching of it? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we're online at philhenryshow.com. If you go to our website, get a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video in HD, Phil TV in HD on our website, philhenryshow.com. Doug Danger with us in our final segment here on the gay history being taught or possibly being taught in California schools. And let's go to Elizabeth in Houston, Texas. Elizabeth, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please.
Well, hi. I'm a little bit nervous.
Yes, ma'am.
But I just have I just have one question for your guest. Are you a parent?
I'm an uncle.
Are you a parent?
An uncle.
You're an uncle.
You know what she's asking. Are you a parent?
I'm an uncle.
Have you experienced bringing a life into this world that you're solely responsible for? Because what you're trying to do is deny a parent the right to be involved with their child.
What life did you bring into this world?
My German Shepherd had a litter.
Oh, will you get serious?
She asked if I brought life into this world, and I said yes. My German Shepherd had a litter.
That's not what she was asking.
Do you have a child? Are you a parent?
My dog. My dog.
Your dog. Well, that would... I'm a Southern lady, and I won't make that kind of a comment. However, until you have experienced bringing a life into this world that you are solely responsible for, and have someone stand up and tell you, you have no business what it's being taught, no business who's teaching it, no business what's parading around in front of my elementary school child. There may be parents who would agree with this curriculum, but you could not come to Southwest Texas and tell parents they have no business in their children's education. That's not going to work. I don't know many places that's going to work.
Ma'am, I can tell you this. Time's wasting. Gay people have been cut out of history long enough. And with my traveling gay show, which I'm going to have, and I think you'd like this, Elizabeth, and I do want your opinion. It's just that we've got to get going here. We've spent too much time.
No, you don't want our opinion.
You're wanting
to exclude the parents from the process.
Well, because a lot of these straights are bigots. You know, you sound like you're fair, but you know a lot of them are rednecks. Now, what I want to do is...
Boy, you're really endearing yourself.
I have two sons who are history majors in college on their way to being teachers.
Yes, ma'am.
And they are purists, which isn't very popular in this revisionist type, you know, atmosphere in the political world. However, as a parent, if you try to parade a freak show through my child's elementary school, you will be stopped. Parents have a say-so. If the parents stood up and said, okay, do this,
excuse my language, I bring in a diesel dyke. Now listen, I bring in this woman.
You already said you were going to bring drag queens as well.
Okay, so?
You said you would bring a drag queen into my nieces, my nephews, my child's elementary school.
No, I didn't say I'd bring it into your nieces and your nephews, Scott. I didn't say, I don't even know who you are. I'm going to bring it into their school. I don't even know where they go to school.
And so,
Doug, you're saying theoretically this is what you would do, though.
You're not wanting to know.
Now that I know who you are, I don't want to go anywhere near where you live.
Doug, you know what we're talking about. You're saying that you want to bring this into schools.
I'm bringing in one lesbian. God. And I'm putting her in front of the class and saying, what is it?
You said out of your own mouth, I'm going to be bringing a drag queen.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a drag queen in, but I didn't know that you're going to make a big deal out of it. You know, most people...
That's because I'm a parent. See, you didn't know that a parent would make a big deal out of something like that. Because you're not a parent, you have no idea.
Downtown,
you have no perspective from a parent's point of view. You're not responsible for a human being. And turning that human being into a responsible, loving, caring, fair person
that helps this world on its way. And if you wear jeans, does that make you a lesbian? No, but you wear jeans, right? So that's all I'm saying.
Whatever that means.
Exactly. I live in Southeast Texas. We all wear blue jeans, and we wear
blue. I'm sorry to hear that.
Phil,
you all wear blue jeans. So do the cows.
Wow.